you in a little. Okay, today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph, but we need to start back on Lamed Amud Bet. Hopefully we'll catch up today. Kol HaKodem Behem Zachan. Okay, we're up to those words of the Mishnah. I reviewed a little bit on the page just to see what we're up to. Okay, so we saw this machlok at Rav and Zairi. Okay, you can look at the sheet I gave out. Whether it's Begufan or Beshivchan, and as Rav says, if somebody, you leave your item in Rashid HaRabim, your chayv and damages of the damages, and if somebody wants to pick it up, they can pick it up. And what's the reason, according to both opinions? Because we're penalizing you for leaving your item in Rashid HaRabim, we want to discourage. So therefore, what do we say? Rav says, well, we're penalizing you not only for the shevach, that you're leaving your item in Rashid HaRabim in order to turn into fertilizer, and now it's going to get better, basically, because people are going to trample on it. Not only the value that it increased, but because we're being konesu you on the value that it increased, we're also going to penalize you for the object itself, and if anybody picks it up, they get both the object and the shevach. Ze'eri says we only get the shevach, okay? Because lo kansu gufa mishum shipan, right? We don't penalize you for the object just because we're going to penalize you for the shevach that you're gaining by leaving it in Rashid HaRabim. Okay, now we're going to try to say that maybe this is a machloket based on something. Maybe there's also a machloket tana'im based on this. One second. I also wanted to review 1 minute. Right, if you look down, okay, look down after the chart, okay, I did the mahalach just in here so you could kind of see what we did. Then we said, well, Rav's opinion is difficult, the konsu gufa mishum shivcham, because we have this case where ha'ofechet ha'galal b'rashid ha'rabim, v'uzak b'macher chayab b'nizkan, and it doesn't say kol ha'kodem zacha, assuming that what? It's not kol ha'kodem zacha. If it's not kol ha'kodem zacha, why is that? It must be because there's no shevach in this case. And in this case, if there's no shevach, so according to Rav, who's kones angufan and shivchan, it should still be kol hakodem zoche. And therefore it's a kosher. And Rav, they said, no, just because it doesn't say it, it doesn't mean that it applied both to all the cases in the Mishnah. In other words, that was one of the cases in the Mishnah, and it applies to all the cases. Then they say, but what do you mean? It says in that case, Asur Mishum Gezel, they try to explain Asur Mishum Gezel in some other way. In the end, they say, no. There's a Mishnah that says it explicitly, and that's the little box over there, that when it says, Hamotzi Tivno V'kasho L'Rishud HaRabim L'Zvalim V'Uzak B'Anacher Chayab B'Nizko, there it says, V'Kol HaKodem B'Em Zachal Mutar Mishum Gezel. And when it says, Ha'ofechet HaGalal, it says, Asur Mishum Gezel. Okay, so therefore, you can't learn from there. Okay, so in the end, what do they say? This is a Koshi on Rav, okay? And they don't have a good answer. So then they say in the end, they give a different answer. The answer that they give is, this case has no shevach, and therefore we're not kones gufa mishum shivchan. In a case where there is shevach, then we're kones. So basically, if there's just the goof, and there's going to be no shevach for the item, even Rav would agree that there's no knas, that no one can be zoche to the object. Okay, that's where we left off. Then we're up to now the words ibayalehu. Okay, it's right smack in the middle of the page. The first word on the line is kansu. Ibayalehu. L'divrei ha'omer kansu gufa mishum shivchan. According to Rav, who says that we're kones the goof because of the shevach, la'alter kansinan. Let's say you leave it in Rashid HaRabim. Now it takes a little while for it to get better, right? What about the next minute somebody comes along and takes it? Okay, do we say that they get the goof, even though there's no shevach in that case? Okay? Or do we say, olechi maite shavcha kantinan, that in order to have the knas applied, meaning that someone can come along and take the object, it has to be a situation where there was already shevach. Just like we said a minute ago, right? If there's no shevach, they're only kones the goof because of the shevach. But if no shevach has happened yet, then maybe you can't kones the goof. So therefore, if I leave my stuff in Rashid HaRabim and you come along and take it, if you take it before the item actually got any better, from people trampling on it, then you wouldn't be allowed to. It would be Asur Mishum Gezel. That's what they want to know. Is it or not? So they say, Tashma Mida Irin Anglal. From the fact that they asked this question about the Glal from the beginning, when they first questioned Rav on it, what did they say? Here's a case where there's no Shevach, And yet, we still think you should be kones the goof. Now, the whole problem with this is that was the question. The answer, we rejected it. But first, they're going to say the fact that they even asked the question seems to imply that there could be a knas on the shevach even without the goof. But then they say, v'tizbira? But what do you mean? Ki arin anglal mikame de l'shane Rav Nachman. Lebatar t'shane Rav Nachman mi'ika lemir maglal klal. That was all according to the Havamina, before Rav Nachman came and gave his better answer. So once Rav Nachman came and gave his answer, which is saying, if it doesn't have shevach, then you can't be kones the goof, then we reject that whole line of thinking. It was nice to have that as a Havamina, we thought it, but it's not true. So therefore, you can't assume from there that we can learn that we would be kones the goof even before the shevach. And therefore, they reject that as a possible answer to the question, and they don't actually conclude what the answer is. Okay, there's no conclusion. Okay, now we want to suggest that maybe this machloket, now go back to the chart at the top of the page, maybe this machloket Rav and Ze'eri, we're now going to see, if you could look at the chart, we're going to see that there's two attempts to say it's the same thing as a different machloket Tana'im, and both times they reject it. So, lema kitanai, shtar shekatu bo ribit, konsino to, ve'eno govet lo et hakeren ve'lo et haribit divrei Rabbi Meir. If we write out a shtar that I'm loaning you money with interest, so Rabbi Meir says, in the end, not only, right, if I loan you money on interest, not only can I not collect the ribi, but I also can't collect the principal. Okay? Because I was asked her what I did. The Chachamim omrim gove et hakeren avalo et haribit. You can be gove the principal, just not the ribit. So lema rav da'amar karabi meir was a'eri da'amar karabanan. Right? Isn't this the same thing? What are we saying? We're basically konesoti, if I lend you money be ribit, then even before I collect the interest, I've already done something wrong, and therefore I can't collect not only the interest, which I'm not deserving of, just like here, the shevach, which I'm not deserving of because I stuck it in Rishad Aravim, but even the object itself I can no longer get, or in theory someone else could take it. Likewise, I can't get the keren, the principal of the loan. Chachamim say, no, it's only the loss of the ribi, right? It's not the keren, obviously, I can get. So now they say no. Lema, Amar lecha Rav. Rav could say like this: Ana de amre afilu le rabanan, akan lo ka amre rabanan hatan ela keren de behetera, ela hacha keren gufa kam mazik. When it came to me lending you money, so there was nothing wrong with the keren. I'm allowed to lend you an item of money. I didn't do anything wrong with that. What was the problem? The problem was with the ribit, the added interest. So I should be able to collect it. But Rav will say that when it comes to our case of I left my item in Rishit HaRabim, well, just by leaving it in Rishit HaRabim, I did something wrong because it could be potentially damaging to someone. Okay? And therefore, already I've done something wrong at that moment. And now we're going to actually see the flip. Uze'eri amar lecha, ana da'amri afilu l'Rabbi Meir. Uze'eri could say, I even agree with Rabbi Meir. In other words, you follow, each one's going to say, I can agree with the other side. Why? Because ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Meir hatam, ela dimishak tiva de avid le suma. Aval hacha mi yemra de mazik, mi yemra de mazik. Okay, so what do they say? Dafka the opposite, Zeri could say. When it comes to the ribit, what does it say? Lo tasimun alecha neshech. You're not allowed to put interest upon you. So as soon as you write out a shtar, you've already done something wrong. Just by the sima, the putting down of a shtar, and the ribit in the shtar, you've already done something wrong. Whereas when it comes to the damage that you're going to potentially, it's potential damage. We have no idea. If you put your zevel out of Rishit HaRabim, who's to say that it's going to be mazik? We don't really know what's going to happen. So therefore, it's like it's the exact opposite that we just said a minute ago, right? One said there's nothing wrong with the keren, but by putting something in Rishit HaRabim, you already put an obstacle, there's something wrong with that. This is the opposite. This is saying, just right, the ribit itself is usur, but putting something in Rishit HaRabim, maybe it'll damage, maybe it won't, maybe you'll get lucky and nothing will happen. So you haven't necessarily done anything wrong. So therefore, each one can explain their logic, right? This is one of those good proofs that you can logically prove anything, right? Because we've just, right, exactly. Okay, next option. Lema kahane tonight. Can you just flip the light switch on? I don't know why it seems dark today. Just the second one. Yeah. Oh, no. The third. Sorry. Okay. Lema kahane tnai. Why don't we suggest that this machloka tanaim here? Hamotzi tivnu, that this is the same tanaitic machloka as Rav and Rabbi Zeri. Rav and Zeri have.
This is the second attempt.
Also, there's another machloka tanaim that would match up. Hamotzi tivnu v'kashol l'rashut harabim l'zvalim. V'huzak behen acher chayav b'nizko. This is the case we saw, right? You take your tevin and kashan to Rashid Arabim for garbage. You know, you want to turn it into fertilizer. Somebody gets damaged by it. You're chayav in damages. And anyone who comes along is zocheh, ve'asurim mishum gezel. Okay? And, right, so what is this asurim mishum gezel? Well, right, this is, right, asurim second. Right. Asurim mishum gezel. How could you say kol hakodem b'hem zacha and asurim mishum gezel? Okay. We're going to see in a minute. Hold off. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, kol hamakalkalin, that means any takala you put in Rashid Arabim, v'ziku, chayavim l'shalem, you're chayav in damages, same thing. But now he says, v'kol hakodem b'hem zacha, umutarim mishum gezel. So one says it's asur mishum gezel, and one says it's mutar mishum gezel. So now what are we going to say? So first of all right, this is Hainid. Hagufakasha, this doesn't make any sense. That's why I was struggling with it, right? It doesn't make any sense. Why? Amarta kolakodem behem zaha. Vahadar ka'amra asurim mishum gezel, right? How could you say on the one hand, anyone who takes it is zocheh, and on the other hand, you say, but it's forbidden mishum gezel. So what are the answer to answer this question, which is then going to lead to why we think it's the same machloket? Elalav hachi kamar. This must be what it means. Bekolakodem behem zaha b'shivchan. Anyone who takes it will get the shevach. But asurim mishum gezel is talking about the goof, meaning the Tanakama or Chachamim fits in with Rabbi Zera, that anyone who takes it can only get the shevach, but not the goof. So if they take the goof, they're chayav in gezel. V'ata Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel lemeimar afilu gufa nami kol hakodem behem zacha. That even the goof, just like Rav, kol hakodem behem zacha. So now they say no. Not the case. So first they're going to say, though, Ze'eri has no way but to say, you're right. I match up with Chachamim, and Rav will match up with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So Ze'eri v'dai tanahi. But Rav, mi lema tanahi. But Rav could say, I'm not siding with one side of the Tanaitic machloket. Both of them would agree with me. Okay, how would he say that? Mi lema tanahi. Amar lecha Rav. Rav could explain. Both of them agree with me that it's gufa mishum shivchan. What's the machloket then? The halacha ve'ein morin kein kamiflagei. There's sometimes where we say this is the halacha, but we don't teach people to do this. Okay? Now there's a bunch of different opinions about what this means. Does it mean we don't go publicly and announce it? As if somebody knows the halacha, so they know that if somebody asks a question, so we could tell them this is the halacha, but we don't go out and teach it publicly. Or some people say it means even if somebody comes to ask you a particular shaila about this, you're not supposed to tell them that this is what you should do. Okay? You're not supposed to recommend this. Okay? In other words, there's certain halachot that the rabbis kind of wanted to shy away from. It's why? What's the issue here? If we say to people, well, if someone leaves their garbage out, you can take it. So on the one hand, we want to be koneis, the owner, for leaving his garbage out. On the other hand, we don't want to teach people that it's okay to steal. Everyone knows that this belongs to someone and they put their garbage out there. So it's this
problem.
Well, it's sort of b'di'evet in l'chatchila, but it's also a very strange thing because then it puts people who really know the halacha can do these things. But you know, and maybe it was a little bit of an elitist attitude of the rabbis of, well, the people who know the halacha, so we can trust them that they won't go the wrong place with this. But the people who don't know the halacha, better off not to teach them this kind of behavior. Right, we've seen that kind of attitude before. Maybe it has to do with that. Or maybe it was just one of these halachas that they just didn't want to be applied. They just didn't like the feel of it. You know, it just doesn't seem right. If people, first of all, there's a need to put your stuff out, turn to fertilizer. Maybe people didn't have enough space in their property, probably. Like, this is a whole issue, the garbage dumps. By the way, Judy sent me an article. We should send it around to everybody about garbage dumps, and I'll put it up on Facebook also. It was a very interesting article. I just didn't have a chance yesterday to post it, but about, they found some garbage dump that they think was an actual dump people use, and it talks about all the types of ways they used to deal with garbage. Way back when, in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara. It doesn't say exactly that time period, but it's talking about the whole time period. So anyway, it's interesting. So and that's their machloket. So therefore, right, and now we're going to see, by the way, the two Amoraim argued about this. D'idmar Rav Huna Amar Rav, halacha ve'emorin kein, Rav Ad Bar Rav Amar halacha u'morin kein. Okay, there was a machloket dafka about this issue. Do we teach it, do we not? So they're saying that's what Rav and Zairi said. So Rav said, I'm sorry, that's what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and Chachamim were arguing about. Chachamim say, kol kodem behem zacha, however, there are asurim mishum gezel, because he didn't want people to do it. Okay, because he didn't want it to lead to people stealing other things.
So Rav is really leaving no room for Zairi, meaning he's saying that both opinions hold.
It's, okay, so right, exactly. What he's saying is it's not a machloket tana'im. Or again, this isn't Rav. This is the Gemara suggesting that we can't assume it's a machloket tana'im because Rav can explain both according to his reading. Exactly. Okay, so now we say, is it really true that Rav Huna said halacha ve'emorin kein? V'ha Rav Huna efkar chulshei. He said that these seorim that they had left in Rishut HaRabim were hefker. People could come and take them. Well, that sounds like halacha u'morin kein. Rav Ad Bar Rava efker sli kusta. And he also did it with the psolet from the dates. So, bishlamar Rav Ad Bar Rava kishmata. Rav Ad Bar Rava makes sense because he said halacha u'morin kein. Ela Rav Huna lema hadarbe. Are we going to say that maybe he changed his mind? So they say no. Hanhu motrin havu. These people have been warned. In other words, there's a difference between someone who just randomly leaves it out and someone who leaves it out and people said, you know, maybe the Beit Din came along and said, please remove your stuff. And they were warned a bunch of times and then they didn't. And then they said, okay, anyone can come take it. And I'm thinking of those cars that get left on the street and they put those big signs up, you know, the stickers on the car, things like that. Okay. So they were already warned. A new case. Shnei kadarin shayu malchin zecher zeh. Okay, this is going to be a funny case. Well, it's going to get even more interesting later. We're going to see a braita that even develops this. But anyway, two potters, guys carrying pots, are walking on the street. Two guys who are carrying pots. They're, one trips and falls. Nitkala rishon v'nafal. Okay, you can see, right, domino effect. Nitkala sheni barishon. And then the second guy trips over the first guy. So now we're going to have a whole discussion about, is there a difference between guy number one and guy number two? Okay? So harishon chayav v'nitke sheni. So according to the Mishnah, the first one has to pay damages to the second one. What's going to get more interesting is we're going to see what if there's a third and a fourth. Okay, you know, there's going to be a whole thing. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says right away, Lo tema manitim Rabbi Meir hi. By the way, we quoted this earlier. Don't say that this mission is Rabbi Meir hi. De Amar nitkal posheahu v'chayav. That it's only according to Rabbi Meir who says someone who has an accident, right, is a posheah. Remember, we had a whole thing. Are you, if you're careless, does that constitute pshi'ah, that you did something, it was negligence, and you're chayav? Don't say that this is only according to Rabbi Meir. Ela afilu l'rabanan, da'amre anusu upater, even chachamim, who say someone who trips and falls is really anus and shouldn't be held responsible. Ha-ha chayav, but in this case, he is chayav. Now, we're going to see two reasons why he's chayav. One Rabbi Yochanan's going to bring, and one Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak's going to bring. Shayalo la'amov v'lo amad. He says this guy should have gotten up and he didn't. So guy number one falls and trips and falls. Now we're going to learn that what happened was some time elapsed and he didn't get up even though he should have. And because he didn't get up, the next guy tripped over him. Okay? So therefore, he says that was his fault. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak amar, afilu tema lo hayal. Oh, so by the way, according to this, if he didn't, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if he didn't have enough time to get up, then he wouldn't be responsible. So comes Rav Nachman and says, I disagree with you. Afilu tema lo hayalo la'amod, even if he didn't have enough time to get up, what could he have had enough time to do? Hayalo la'azhir, velo is here. He should have said, watch out, I'm on the floor. Okay? And he didn't do that. So if he had said, watch out, so if there was enough time again, there would have to have been enough time for him to have fallen and been conscious enough to say, watch out. And if that there was enough time that elapsed at least for that, and the second guy tripped, then he's not responsible. Okay, so difference of opinion, is it that he should have gotten up, or is it that he should have warned? So now we're going to say, for Rabbi Yochanan Amar, kevan dehay, now what's Rabbi Yochanan's retort to Rav Nachman? Kevan de lo hayalo la'amod, lo hayalo la'azhir, ditarid. Comes Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, if he couldn't have even gotten up, well then he also was busy with dealing with his fall, and he also wasn't, now it's not conscious necessarily, but he wasn't focused enough, right? We're not blaming him for the fact that he didn't warn. So he thinks lo hayalo la'amod and lo hayalo la'azhir would be the same level. Okay. Now we're going to question Okay, now you can turn to the second page. Okay, we're going to have two attempts to prove the Shita of Rav Nachman and show that Rabbi Yochanan's reading is difficult, but we're going to reject them. I don't remember where we're going to end off. We'll see. Okay. Tnan. Haya bal korah rishon, ubal chavit acharon. Okay, you have a guy walking with a beam. We saw this case before. We're going to see it further. It's at the end of today's daf. Right. It's the next Mishnah, which I don't think we're going to get to, but it's the very end of the daf. Anyway, now we'll learn it, so you have to learn it at the end of the day, daf. There's a guy walking with a... Okay, maybe we'll even just quickly look at it now, because it doesn't bring the beginning. Zeba b'chavito v'zeba b'korato. A guy's carrying a barrel, a guy's carrying a beam, okay, and it's horizontal. Nishbira kado shel zeba korato shel zeb patur. Shel zeba shut la'alech v'zeba shut la'alech. Okay, so if the car breaks by the beam, everyone had permission to be there, so the bala kora is patur. Haya bala kora rishon, u bala chavir acharon. If the bala kora was in front, this sounds like driving, right? In other words, you're always responsible if you're behind, right? You're supposed to be looking out. So, haya bala kora rishon, u bala chavir acharon, nishbira chavit bakora patur. Ve'im, one second. Okay, so, patur bala kora. Okay, nishbarach avi kora, patur bala kora. Okay, so let's read it now back in ours. Haya bala kora rishon ubal chavit acharon, nishbara chavit bakora patur. Okay, and now the next line is, v'im amar bala kora chayav. But if all of a sudden you're walking on the street, now this happens in a car all the time, right? You're driving, and you're assuming that the driver in front of you is going to move, and then what happens? He all of a sudden stops short, and then you bump into him. So whose fault is that? His for stopping short or yours for not being aware? So now what they say is, the Mishnah says, if the Bala Kora stopped, so then you're Chayav. So now, in the car, it depends why he's the beam. Okay? The guy is in front, the beam guy, stops all of a sudden. You're walking with your Chavi, you keep walking, and he all of a sudden stops, you bump right into him. So now the question is, just like in a car, well, it depends. Was there a stop sign in front? Is there a reason for him to stop? We should always anticipate that somebody, that's why you always leave space, right? Okay, so this is very much like a car situation. So now the Gemara is going to suggest, my lav sha'amad l'katef d'or chehu, b'katane chayav d'hava leila hazir. Now, for what reason, now this is different than a car, for what reason do people stop when they're carrying a beam? Because they have to readjust, right? They need to move it off their shoulder for a minute. It's getting heavy. They need to kind of readjust. That's l'katef. So is it not that it's amad l'katef, d'or chehu? That's typical behavior. And since it's typical behavior, so katane chayav, d'hava leila hazir. Okay, so then, one second. Shvach avi b'kara patur v'im amad b'alakara chayav. Right, so it says chayav. What's the assumption of why it was chayav? If it's orche, then the guy should have known. But the assumption is hayalo lahasir. He should have warned him. That must be the reason why you're going to be chayav. In other words, if it's orche, then he shouldn't be responsible. So why is he responsible? Because they're assuming he should have at least said, "I'm stopping for a second to adjust." He should have warned the person.
Or just tie a red flag.
But to tie a red flag, he'd have to start. Right? What do you mean, tie a red flag? At what point? He's walking and he just wants to stop.
Constant
warning. No, the point is that when he decides he wants to readjust, he should just say, "I'm readjusting." Okay. So now, that's the assumption. In which case, that would support Rav Nachman, right? Because that's what he said the issue was. So then they say, no, that's not the issue. Lo, it's not when he stops to adjust. When he stops to adjust, he's clearly not chayav. Because that's typical behavior, and the person behind should know and should leave enough space. So if the guy slows down, right, he's not going to crash into him. So it must be kshamad lafush. It must be he all of a sudden decides to take a break. And that's not typical. You're in the middle of walking, and all of a sudden you just stop. That's not typical behavior. And he shouldn't have expected that. Now, if that's the case, so that would then support Rabbi Yochanan, right? Wouldn't show that this is Rav Nachman. But now they say, wait a minute. If you're going to say it's kshamad lafush, so then what will be the case? Amad l'katef. Aval amad l'katef mai patur. You're going to assume, like we did, right? That's what we assumed. If you say it's amad lafush, then amad l'katef, he goes to readjust, he'd be patur. If that's the case, then the Mishnah doesn't make sense, because what does it say in the Seifa? Adetani Seifa, Vimamarlo Labala Chavit Amod, Patur. It doesn't say in the Mishnah, Imayalo, Imamad Lekatef Patur. What does it say? If he could have, if he said to the Bala Chavit, stop, then he's Patur. So it should have said, right, this is exactly what we had yesterday. Since it starts to distinguish, but it doesn't distinguish the distinction that we're making, then the distinction that we're making must not be the case. So therefore they say it should have liflag belit nebedida. It should have said specifically in the Mishnah, Bamed Varimamurim Kshama Lafu, Shavanomal the Katev Patur. Okay, and it didn't say that, and it specifically talked about if he says Amod. So therefore that disproves our answer. But now he says, no. It could still be that it says in Baal HaChavit, if it says to Baal HaChavit Amod, then he's Patur, and still thinks that he's Patur Mamad LaFush, right? If he stops to rest, but if Mamad LaKatev, he be Chayav. No, I said it the opposite, right? If Mamad LaFush, he be Chayav. And if he's Amad LaKatev, he be Patur. And yet, why did it specifically give this line in Mamar Lo Balabayit Amod Patur? Because Ha Kamashmalan, it comes to teach you, De'af Agav De'amad Lafush, even though if he stops to rest, generally we say Chayav, however, what is it going to say? Ki Ka'amar Lo Labala Chavit Amod Patur. That even within the case where you're Chayav and Mamad to take a rest, even within that, we could still say that there'd be a case where he'd be Patur. If he stops to rest in the mill and he says Amod, oh, well, then he's going to be Patur. Okay? So that's why it specifically specified that line, but yet didn't specify Amad Lafush, Amad Lekatef, and all that. Okay. So now we're going to have the exact same type of mahalach with the next source. Okay? Tashma. Hakadarim vazagagim. These are people holding, right, carrying pots and people carrying glass. Shayu malchim zeachar zeh. Right? They're walking in a line. Nitzkal harishon v'nafal. Okay? So the first guy falls. And remember, it's not just them, it's all the stuff they're carrying, right? All the stuff is going to break. V'nitkal ha-sheni barishon, v'ashlishi ba-sheni. Okay, so now we have three people, right? This one trips over that one. The second trips on the first, the third trips on the second one. Okay? Rishon chayav b'nizkei sheni, v'sheni chayav b'nizkei shlishi. Okay, so each one is responsible for the damage they caused. V'im machmat rishon naflu, and if they both tripped over the first guy, well then rishon chayav b'nizkei kulam. He's responsible for all the damage. V'im his hiru zedzeh, now you can see where this is going, right? If they warned each other, and they said, well, you know, watch out, I'm on the floor, them p'tuim. So what does this imply? This seems to support Rav Nachman. The Gemara is going to even elaborate. My love, shelo hayad lehen la'amod. Right? Don't we assume that it means they didn't have enough time to get up, so they just warned? Okay, and then that would support Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. The Gemara says lo, shayal lehen la'amod. Period. No, you could still say that this was a case like Ravi Yochanan said, where they could have stood up and they didn't, and that's why they're responsible. So now again, they're going to say. So according to what you're saying, of aloha yalehen la'amod, what would be, by the way, I charted this all out because you'll see it's the exact same structure that's going on here, right? Each time, they're going to explain the makor in one way, assuming it's a particular case. Then they're going to say, no, that's not the case. And then they're going to say, well, if you're going to assume that's the case, well, then what are you going to say about the other case? The conclusion you would come to isn't right because it doesn't specify that in the Mishnah. So now they're going to say, Avaloha yalehen la'amo mai patur. So if they couldn't have stood up, then you're going to say they're patur. Ihachi, if that's the case, Adetane Seifa, when it says in the Seifa, Imishiru Zeitze patur, it should have there said what? Livlog v'litni bedida, b'med v'arim amurim shayalehen la'amo. Avaloha yalehen la'amo p'turin. And why didn't it say that? So now they're going to say, oh, I'll explain why they didn't need to say that. In other words, they didn't say that. The reason they said this line, Mishiruz Etzeh Patur, was to teach you, just like we ended the last one, Ha Kamashmalan, De'af Agav De'hayalan La'amod, Ki Mishiruz Etzeh Patur. Even though they could have had the time to stand and they didn't, it would be enough to just warn. Okay? And therefore, this source doesn't prove Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Because it could be that the Amidah and the warning comes together. Amar Rava. Now we're going to get into, which we didn't get into, now that we brought this case. Who's chayav in what case? And that is, are we chayav on everything? Are we chayav in every case? Let's discuss. So Rava makes this statement, okay? The whole next chart is all Rava, okay? Rava makes this statement and he says, the first guy is Chayav b'nizke sheni, bein b'nizke gufo, bein b'nizke mamono. Okay, what does this mean? This means that he's Chayav, the first guy is Chayav for what he did to the second guy, whether the second guy was damaged by the first guy's body, or whether, remember what happened, the guy was carrying glass or pottery, or whether he was hurt by the shards, okay? Whether it was from his mamon or from his body. Soon we're going to explain that the Niske Mamono aren't referring to that. They're referring to whether the second guy was damaged on his body or his property. They're going to go two different ways. So just let's follow right now. Right now they're saying it's when the damage was caused by the body of the first person or by the property of the first person. So Rava says the Rishon Chayav b'nizke sheni bein b'nizke gufo bein b'nizke mamono, but the sheni is Chayav b'nizke shlishi b'nizke gufo v'lo b'nizke mamono. But the second guy is not like the first guy. The second guy is only responsible if his body caused damage, but not if his property caused damage. So now they're going to question this, and they're going to say, Mima nafshach. Either which way you look at it, what's your logic based on, Rabbi? Either which way you look at it, something doesn't make sense. Okay, that's the next two lines here. Okay, we're going to see in one way of reasoning, the second guy doesn't make any sense. In the other line of reasoning, the first guy doesn't make any sense. Mima nafshach. Either which way you look at it, Enit kal posheahu, if you're going to say that a guy who trips is a posheah, so then sheni nami lichayev, the second guy also tripped, he should be responsible. V'enit kal lav posheahu, afilu rishon nami lipater. Right? If we're going to say that a guy who trips is not responsible, he's anus, well then the first guy shouldn't have to pay. So either which way you look at it, either both should be chayav all across the board, or both should be patur across the board, and it doesn't make sense to distinguish between the first one and the second one, nizkei gufan and nizkei mamonan, whether they're body damage or whether they're property damage. Okay, so now they're going to answer. Rishon vadai posheahu. Sheni agufo mechayev dehayav alo la'amod velo amad. And amamono patur de'amrle hay bira lav ana krite. How does it work? The first guy is vadai posheah. We're going to assume that the logic is nitzkal posheah. Therefore, the first guy was nitzkal posheah. He's responsible across the board. But the second guy, we're going to make him responsible if his body damages because he should have gotten up. That's what we've been saying all along, right? We're assuming he had enough time to get up and he didn't get up. But his mamon is going to be patur. Why? Because what's he going to say? He's going to say, hey, I didn't dig this bore. It was the first guy who knocked me over, and that caused my kalim to be on the floor. So the fact that I didn't get up, okay, I should have gotten up, but I'm not responsible. It's already indirect damage. This is not my accident. It was his accident that caused me to have an accident, caused my stuff to be on the floor. That's already indirect enough that he doesn't have to assume responsibility for it. Okay. Now we're going to have a question on Rava. Meitive. Kulan chayavim on nizkei gufan, upturin on nizkei mamonam. There's a braita that's talking about this Mishnah. What does it say? Everybody is chayav on the nizkei guf, and they're p'turin on the nizkei mamon. So what do we assume? Right? What does it mean, kulan? It sounds like the rishon and the sheni, which means that the rishon also is patur if his mamon damages. So how did Rava say that the rishon's chayav ben on nizkei mamono ben nizkei gufo? So my lav afilu rishon, doesn't kulan mean even the first? So they say, lo levar mi rishon. It means everyone except the first. Okay? In other words, the second and the third and on and on and on, right? So then they say, but that doesn't make any sense. Vaha kulam katani. But doesn't it say kulam? Kulam means everyone. Why are you saying everyone is everyone except the first? It doesn't make any sense. So am ravad brava kulan hanizakin. What it means when it says kulan is it means all those who were damaged. Right? In other words, all those, remember, the first caused the second one to get damaged, and the second caused the third one, but the first one didn't have any damage. So when it says all of them, it means all the nizakim. So now the Gemara doesn't like that either, okay, which I saw your eyes. The Gemara doesn't like it either. Hi, Mai. Does this make any sense? Yeah, Mar Bishlama Filu Rishon, Hainu Dekatani Kulan. Right? It still doesn't make any sense. If you said also the first, then it would make sense to say Kulan. Ela iamart levar mirishon my kulan litne hanizakin. It shouldn't have used the word in kulan if it meant all of those damage. It should have just said the nizakin. It shouldn't have said kulan. So they reject that. And therefore, Rava's reading is rejected, and Rava's going to explain, we're going to explain Rava in a different way. And that's what I alluded to in the beginning, that we understood the Gufan and Mamonan in the wrong way. Ela Amar Rava, Rishon Chayav Bein Biniskei Gufo Desheni. Bein Biniskei Mamono Desheni. The Rishon is Chayav, because what's he called? A Poshea. So therefore, he's Chayav for the damage he causes to the body of the second guy and to the Kalim of the second guy. Okay? Because he's Adam Mu'ad La'olam, Nizkal is Poshea, and Adam is Chayav, and any Nezek he causes. V'sheni Chayav Biniskei Shlishi, Biniskei Gufo, Avalo Biniskei Mamono. But the second guy is only responsible for the damage caused to the body of the third guy, but not to the mamon of the third guy. My taima, Dahave Le Bor, V'lo Matzinu Bor, Shechiyei Bo Et HaKelim. What did we learn about Bor? That you're not responsible for Kalim. And the second guy is basically like a Bor, because he's something that was caused damage from the first guy, so he's like a Bor sitting there. Right? Interesting to call a person a Bor, right? So all of a sudden we see that this, first of all, we're seeing a lot of interesting things. Adam Mu'ad La'olam, now we're again narrowing. Right? It's not always Mu'ad, because there could be a situation where an Adam becomes a Bor. It's really interesting. The second thing we're seeing is, I just want to make this very clear in terms of methodologically, the Mishnah says, I'm going to read the Mishnah one more time, okay? And you'll see the problem immediately. Shnei kadarin shayu malchin zeh zeh, v'nitkal harishon v'nafal, v'nitkal sheni barishon, harishon chayav v'nizkei sheni. I'm sorry, that's not the one I wanted. I wanted the kadarim case, which then goes to the, sorry, hakadarim v'azagigin shayu malchin zeh zeh, nitkal harishon v'nafal, v'nitkal sheni barishon, v'ashlishi v'sheni, Rishon chayav v'nizkei sheni, v'sheni chayav v'nizkei shlishi. What does that sound like? They're chayav exact same damages. The Braita doesn't start to distinguish. You're chayav some damages, you're chayav other damages. The Braita seems like they're totally exactly equal. It makes absolutely no distinction. So it's interesting that Rava comes along and can't imagine, as, how could you call the second guy, now we're also talking about what is careless, right? There's careless that you trip, but then when you trip over someone else who's tripped, well, you're clearly not as careless as the first guy, right? In other words, there's this, or maybe again, the responsibility shifts more to the first guy, which makes you less responsible for what happens. He should have called out, he should have gotten up, right? That was all the first guy who fell on the floor should have warned you to watch out. You're not expected, we generally don't find people on the floor. So you're not expected, I'm remembering many, many years ago, I was on a train in Europe, and in the middle of the night I went to the bathroom, and I didn't expect, I all of a sudden realized I was stepping on a person. There were people lying in the hallway of the train. It was pitch black. You couldn't see anything. And all of a sudden I realized I had stepped on a person, because you're not expecting people to be on the ground. You know, it's not your typical place to find them. So if they're on the ground and they don't warn you, well, it's their fault. And thank God there was no damage. But I don't even know if I woke them up, but I was very shocked.
The level of onus is different in terms of what the person's done. So
what do you mean onus here? The,
what you're saying in terms of being...
That the second guy is onus.
Right, and it's just different gradations of
accident, you mean.
Right,
exactly.
It's like a pylon in a car situation.
The first guy stopped short, caused the second guy caused it. Right, exactly.
Less and less time to actually say,
exactly.
Hello, you know, I'm on the ground.
Exactly. Okay, so now we're basically calling a person a bore, okay? We're saying there's a situation where a person can become a bore. So now we're going to have an issue with that, though. Because remember all the things we learned about Bor. Okay, this will be a good review. Hani chalishmuel da'amar kol takala borhu. Remember there was a whole thing, is Bor only if you were mafkir, or is Bor even if you weren't mafkir? So it works according to Shmuel, who says any kind of takala, whether you're mafkir or not, is Bor. Ela l'rav da'amar I afkere in I lo lo ma'ika l'meimar. Well, if you're going to say, Rav says Bor is only when you put something in Rishit Arabim and you're mafkir it. Well, nobody's mafkir themselves, okay? Right? Maybe a prostitute, you could say. But, right, other than that, right, there's no such thing as turning yourself into hefkir. So what could he possibly say? Lo olam. So therefore, we reject this reading. Okay, so we had a very good reading of Rava. Now we reject it, and we go back to the original reading. Because they basically say, you can't have Adam be a boor. Okay? It's not possible. They say it because of Rav, but I wonder if they also just didn't think that it sat right to call a person a boor. Because again, there's this adamawa lo'olam. Let's forget about calling a person an inanimate object, but also just, I think they have a problem that you're also somewhat responsible. So therefore, la'olam kita'amar me'ikara. And what was our problem? Remember, dikashalach kulan chayavim, right? It didn't make sense to say kulan chayavim, and it really didn't mean the Rishon. Because remember, it said kulan chayavim, b'nizkei gufam b'pturim b'nizkei mamonam, and that's not what he said about the Rishon. So here we're going to come up with an answer. Tirgamar rav adabar minyume kameja ravina, shuz ku kelim b'kelim. What we're talking about is, you're not chayav, now we're going to combine the two shitotamos. Even the Rishon is not chayav, if the Shani's Kalim broke from the Rishon's Kalim. Okay? We had, you know, the Kalim talking about the first guy's Kalim, and now the Kalim talking about the second guy's Kalim. So if, let's just go through the possibilities. The first guy trips, the second guy trips over the first person, then he's responsible. He trips over the Kalim of the first person, he's responsible. But if he trips over the person or the Kalim, it doesn't matter, and his Kalim break on the first guy's on, let's say his kalim break on the body of the first guy, then he's going to be chayav. But if they break on the kalim of the first guy, then he's not going to be chayav. So if it's kalim of that guy on the kalim of the other guy, why? Very simply, because his kalim are bor, and the other guy's kalim, right, there isn't nizke kalim bor. So that's what they're going to explain, okay, which makes a lot of sense.
I would have just said it was grama or grimi.
It was grama benizikin.
Right, or that other word that we learned, greeny or something, where it was indirect.
Oh, grama de grama, right? Yeah, it was another word.
It's greeny, where it caused damage, but it was indirect.
Uh-huh.
The action you caused didn't cause the damage, but indirect.
Right, the indirect. I think it's more simply, but maybe. I thought it was more simply that it's bore, basically.
Yeah.
But maybe, right. Okay. So now they say, Amar Mar. Now we want to go to this last one. Im machmat rishon naflu, chayav benizke kelim. Sorry, chayav benizke kulam. Confusing. Okay, the Freudian slip. So now what did the end of that source say? If they all, remember, the first one trips over, the second one trips over the first one's chayav. The third guy trips over the second guy, the second guy's chayav. But if all of them tripped over the first guy, then they're going to be, the first one's going to be responsible for everybody. So now they say, Machmat Rishon Hechinafil. How could, now they just want to know, practically speaking, how could this case happen? So Rav Papa Amar, Depaskal Orche Kishilda. What happened? He fell on the street and he was lying like a skeleton on the ground, meaning that he was horizontally, like covering, right? His body was lying horizontally so that all these people walking assume it's a wide street. So people are walking from different places and they could bump into him. You know, it's not, normally you'd assume the domino effect. One person's walking behind the other, behind the other, behind the other. So they're obviously going to trip over the next guy. But it could be he's lying like that. Rav Zvi Amar, Kichutur Disamuta. Okay, this means that like the stick of a blind person. Now some people say, there's a few different explanations, but a stick of a blind person, what does a blind person do when he's walking? He moves his stick diagonally. So maybe the guy was on a diagonal. Okay, so now the Mepharshim try to come up with, is there a real difference, lahalacha, between the two? So you could say if he's like a sheled, then they should have seen the body there, whereas if it's on an angle, like a diagonal, well then you don't see his body because you're not up to it yet, you know, and then maybe that's a difference. So, you know, one, the guy who says chutur d'samyutef, what it means really is a diagonal, then he might not make people responsible if, you know, he would... Right, so then who would say what? So if he says it's like a diagonal, then he would still hold the first person responsible, but the other guy might say that the first person is not responsible, his body was on a diagonal, and then they started tripping over him later. I don't know. It's unclear if there's really an afkamina between them or not. There's a bit of a discussion about it. Okay, we'll stop here. Already we did the Mishnah anyway about the Chavit and the Korah, and you'll get more into it tomorrow.